Two great things that happen when I come back here. I get to see all you guys, and I get to hear the music.
Yeah.
Haven't found that anywhere else yet. We've looked. Well, so this is my report back. It's been almost exactly 4 years since we've been here, since the last time I was here. Yeah. Almost 2 years since our last visit when the rental car decided that I was not coming to the Sunday morning service to visit you. We, just in your behalf, we bought a new car so it would be reliable and get us here. And in the meantime, we've been doing, Kay and I have been doing the same thing you guys have been doing. Continuing down the path of life, meeting people, learning things, trying to figure out how to integrate all this stuff we're learning into our actual lives. And, you know, that's been interesting. I want to thank everybody here, first off, in retrospect, for all the love and the support and the encouragement you gave Kay and I during the time we were here. Anyway, thank you. I'm not going to try to go beyond that. I also have a complaint, though. Okay, I also have a complaint. We were here basically 13 years, and it has been extraordinarily difficult finding another church that satisfies us after hanging out here with you guys. And I'm deadly serious. When we moved out to the West Coast, we visited a couple nice churches out there, and they were nice, and they had some good things. I mean, I recommend them to people, but the feeling wasn't quite there. The whole package was definitely not there. And I actually looked at taking a couple churches out there that were looking for ministers, and I kind of like visited, and it's like, nah. So that's my complaint to you guys. You spoiled us, and we appreciate it deeply. It's been lovely, and I hope you continue spoiling each other. As many of you know, Kay and I only stayed out in San Diego a little less than a year, and then decided to move back to Charlotte, North Carolina, where we had met each other, and where we left three sons, and where we now have four grandkids. The littlest one turns one next couple of weeks. Yeah. So that's lovely, and we went back to visit the old Unity Church there, and guess what? It wasn't quite this. That was an interesting thing. It's been through a number of ministers, and so that may be part of it. And then because when we got back there, they already had two ministers on staff, both of whom I knew friends, we decided to try to start another Unity community there, so I would have something to do because I was bored. And we've been doing that for about 3 years, and it was in part trying, I realized looking on it retrospect, it was in part trying to recreate what was happening here. And have you noticed that the universe does not move backwards? The universe does not move, no matter how wonderful it was, the universe does not move backwards. It doesn't need a redo. So we're actually looking at partnering with the other Unity Church there, which has since hired a new minister who's turned into a friend, and that's been great. The one thing that did take off for us during our time there were our Course in Miracles study groups. We have two really strong Course in Miracles study groups with some really dedicated people, and we're moving deeply, and that has been helpful, and they have helped me move more deeply. I've actually been really exploring that path. That's turning into a gateway for me even more. So that's been kind of part of our progress report, what's going on. It's interesting, Unity, religious science, and other new thought religions often are presented as ways of getting the universe to work for us, right? How to get the universe to work for us. A couple weeks ago, I was having lunch with my friend Reverend Marty from the other church, who is actually, interestingly, a religious science minister serving a Unity church. He jokes about being a religious science minister in Unity drag. yeah, he's got the humor, too. Great guy. great guy. I've been kind of helping him with, like, you know, how do you function within unity? Because he had very little background in that. And he's been helping support me, and just we're just having fun. And he made an observation that was very similar to an observation another friend of mine had made within the week before. A guy who's not religious at all, tall Dutch guy named Martin, who kind of experiences the divine in nature but has no use for religion. But his Martin's comment at lunch was, you know, I really get the feeling that the universe is living us. And that what I need to do, as Martin said, is let the universe live me. And interestingly, Marty says the same darn thing, right? It's like, okay, got it, you know, got it, heard that. Which ties in perfectly, and maybe you guys have sensed that the universe, you know, you're trying to steer the bus, but it's already being driven. All right, all right. It ties in perfectly with Charles Fillmore's teachings of unity early on, because Fillmore's whole thing early on was get quiet, do your meditation, do whatever, and ask God for an inspired idea. Then go do stuff. Then get the universe to work for you. But ask for the inspired idea first. Get the inspired idea first, the God idea. Work with those ideas. Not just, you know, Jim's agenda of wants and desires or what I think would make me feel happy. Not that there's anything wrong with, you know, taking something that makes you happy and trying to make it happen. But as some of you have discovered, and as I was recently reminded, that only takes you so far. Your ideas only take you so far. Tapping into big ideas, as we might say, universal ideas, that's what moves us. And then, of course, the challenge is, how the heck do I tell the difference? Because all my ideas seem universal. They'd be great for everybody. Just, you know, pay attention to my ideas and you'll all be fine. Isn't that the way the planet runs? You know? That's kind of how it goes. I was thinking about that and I realized, well, you know, when I'm trying to decide if it's a Jim idea, which it often is, or an inspired idea, the question is, how does it feel? How does it feel in my body and my being? Is it light? Is it energizing? Is it joyful? Is there a lightness and an energy to it? Is there a sense of maybe beauty? Yeah, that's the best word I can use. Is there a sense of beauty or grace to it? And another good test, does it connect me with others and support the whole of us? Because trust me, God ideas connect us with others and support the whole of us, you know. As opposed to, is it kind of like about me and my needs or wants? You know, watch out for those. But to connect in with those, to try to connect in with those big ideas and to maybe be patient a little bit, you know, because we're good at chattering. Not always as good at listening. Now, I don't know how many of you were paying attention carefully when I was here 4 years ago. But I shared part of the Elijah and Elisha stories a couple times because they were speaking to me. Elijah the prophet and Elisha his student. And in 2 Kings 2, there's this story, and you'll remember this as I mention this, that Elijah and Elisha are working together, student and teacher, prophet and apprentice, I don't know what you call it, and they're moving forward, and they would come to different places, different cities, representing different states, and Elijah would say to his student, you know, I'm moving forward, you can stay here if you want, but, you know, I'm moving on. And Elisha, the student, wisely would say, you know, as the Lord lives and moves, I will not, you know, I'm moving forward with you. I'm not stopping. I'm moving forward, forward. Charles Fillmore said that Elijah and Elisha represented states of consciousness. Elijah, the elder prophet, is kind of that state where, you know there's power in the mind, you are moving forward with it. Elijah is this great, powerful prophet, but he's like always in trouble. People are always after him, you know. He's got that there's power there, but maybe and he's always having to fight. And Elisha, biblically at least, represents the next level of maybe awareness of use of that, a double portion of what Elisha has. And so they journey together and they go through Gilgal and Bethel and Jericho, and eventually they cross the Jordan River. And you know this is metaphor because they part the Jordan River and walk across on dry land, and this happens a couple times in the story. But that represents moving into another realm, right? I mean, that moving out of the common way of thinking, moving into what we would call a place where transformation or awareness can happen. The student, and you know, to me that's me, Elisha is about the willingness to follow and to learn and to move forward. You can stay here if you want, Elisha. I'm going forward, says the universe. Right? So, interesting. It's funny because a couple years ago I had been thinking about that, and we go to Passover with some friends every year when we're in Charlotte. And my friend Charlie Brown, a therapist who's also a very devoted student of Judaism, I thought, God, I finally get to ask the question. If Elisha, the student, gets a double portion, he's like twice the juice of Elijah, how come at Passover we wait for the return of Elijah, the guy that's always in trouble? And Charlie really couldn't answer the question either. He said he'd wondered about it too. Partially, I think it's because of tradition. You know, a tradition is established, and we just kind of take the tradition for granted. We also take the stories as literal. I have questions as to whether there was ever an Elijah and an Elisha, literally, or whether these are teaching parables, you know, metaphors or myths that are designed to show us things and point toward things rather than literal stories. They're pointing toward that movement. In A Course in Miracles, it describes our journey, our journey individually and collectively, as a journey without distance to a place we've never left. A journey without distance to a place we've never left. It's an inner journey. It's an inner journey, you know? It's moving, and it's about a combination of both remembering and experiencing who and what we actually are, which is why we come together, right? Which is why you hang out with all these people here who are on that same journey and consciously on that journey to begin to not just remember who we are, but actually experience that in our daily lives. That's why spiritual community is such a powerful thing when we're willing to allow ourselves to connect with it. Because it's more than just me. It's more than just me or any one of us. So is there an inner journey to be made by me? Yep. Inner journey to be made by you? Yep, each one of you. And there's good news and bad news. The good news is you're already on it. The bad news is all that stuff that's been happening to you throughout your life and continues to, that's the journey. You're already on it. You're already on it. The question, though, and this is why I love the Elijah and Elisha story, the question is, am I willing to move from where I am right now? Elijah offers, you know, I'm moving forward. You know, the universe says, hey, Jim, I'm moving forward. You coming, or you going to hang out where you've been? Or try to hang out where you've been, right? Because I'm, just by coincidence, each one of us is part of the universe. It's like, you're not separate from God. You're not separate from the universe. It's living through you, as my friends reminded me. So when you try to stay put, or go backwards, you find yourself like at odds, in conflict with the whole flipping universe. Think about that. I mean, my gosh, you know, it's all working against me. No, it's just going that way. And you're trying to stand, you know, so, and you see, that's one of the gifts of having a little, of being sort of partly retired, having a little more time, is you get to notice that even more, you know? And that is one of the interesting secondary gifts that has come along in the last 4 years for me. I'm essentially semi-retired. I'm still doing some work and still got some things going, but I have a lot more free time. I often define it as too much free time, okay? Because when I was busy raising a family, when I was busy doing a job, when I was busy being a full-time minister and doing all the fun stuff we did here, I didn't have as much time to notice what was going on inside, well, inside here, right? All those thoughts, all those judgments, all those expectations, all that, you know. Oh, all that stuff. All that stuff. So, I got some free time. Everybody hopes for free time. Some of you are already retired, so you already probably realize this. I got to learn this in the last few years, right? You have all this free time, and it's like, oh, this is great. Oh, gosh. Nothing to distract me. Nothing to distract me, unless I create distractions, from all this that's going on. You know, what I call the unenlightened thoughts inside my head. I assume some of you have, a few of you probably have familiarity with the unenlightened thoughts. You know, not happy, not loving, no rainbows and unicorns. Yeah, a lot of junk. It's been interesting, you know, to notice that and then to try to find ways to work with it and people to support me in doing that, which is why I'm still working to either create community in our study groups or integrate into the larger community that's there around me where my friend Reverend Marty is trying to kind of pump some life back into what had been a pretty lifeless church in Charlotte. Church, people I love, but pretty lifeless church. And he's doing his job, and I think, you know, maybe that's my next job. Help Marty. Help Marty pump some life in there. You know, the Course reminds us that we can notice and direct and discipline our thoughts. It's a very unity type of thought. Charles Fillmore would be perfectly comfortable with that. We can do it if we want a happy life. Or we can not if we just want to, you know, kind of deal with it. And for me, that's part of the message of the Elijah and Elisha stories, a lot of the Bible stories you read. At times, I still do find myself wanting to go back. I mean, I've been looking forward to seeing you guys again because there's a lovely energy here that I want. But again, you guys are moving forward, either consciously or unconsciously, individually and collectively, and I am too. And that means that what we love gets recreated in different ways, in different places, and we have to pay attention to that. And quite honestly, for many of us, particularly some of us who are more mature age-wise, and maybe not personally, but there's not as much time to play around. You know, it's like, what am I going to do? I need to work on this. You know, how many more years do I have to work on this? Because my human mind invites me to go back and try to recreate what I've done in the past. Go back and, you know, go to the places that were, you know, I was once happy when I did this, so I'm going to go do that some more. I was once happy when I visited this place, so I'm going to go visit there. Maybe I'm going to move there, you know, or whatever. And is that really, you know, when you have those thoughts, notice how they feel. Notice how those thoughts feel. Do they feel light and joyous and energizing? Do they feel like that's a divine inspiration, or do they feel like I'm really not enjoying things here right now very much, so I'm going to try to go there because I think it's going to be better, you know, or I'm going to try to go back because I think it's going to be better. My theory, and it's a work in progress because, as you know, I don't know, is that the universe probably has a lot bigger ideas than we do, bigger ideas for us individually and collectively, maybe better ideas, and that our goal is to support each other in listening and following those new ideas to those new bright places rather than trying to kind of keep everything just the same. You know? So I wrote a couple little affirmations to use this week. a pair of affirmations. There we go. I love this. So it says, I choose to trust the wisdom of God over my human thoughts and desires. I choose to welcome universal mind and allow it to live through me. Let's share that together. Together we say, I choose to trust the wisdom of God over my human thoughts and desires. I choose to welcome universal mind and allow it to live through me. Let's say that again together. I choose to trust the wisdom of God over my human thoughts and desires. I choose to welcome universal mind and allow it to live through me. Close your eyes and let that thought settle in for just a second. It's a choice we have every day. Elijah said to Elisha, hey, you want to follow me or you want to just stay here? The universe is saying the same thing. So we can choose to trust that universal wisdom, that divine wisdom that's present in each one of us. It's always with us. We can trust that over our cravings and desires and things like that that bother us all the time. And we can welcome that universal mind, that greater consciousness that we all share. And as my friend Martin said, we can let it live through us. Let it live through us and move us forward in ways that bless us and bless us all together. So let's open our eyes and say that one more time. Together we say, I choose to trust the wisdom of God over my human thoughts and desires. I choose to welcome universal mind and allow it to live through me. So it is. Amen.